Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and we want to welcome you to our program, Returning to Our Roots. For the last several weeks, we've been discussing the restoration of all things and the process that's involved there. A big part of that, of course, is the idea of returning to God, returning to God's ways, so that in the end, all things can be restored. And as we have talked about, this was so important to the Father in heaven that he began to speak of restoration from the very beginning of time. It was so important to the Messiah that he died that it might become a reality. And so as we begin this segment today, we are going to ask the question, if the restoration of all things was that important to the Creator, to the Messiah, how important should it be to us? Now, we're going to kind of turn a corner, and even though we're going to talk about the restoration, we're going to talk about this aspect of it. We return to Him, and we return to His ways. And if we're going to do that, that all things might be restored, then that means we must leave something behind. Those things that we were embracing, those things that we were facing, and we were focusing our attention upon, if we're going to turn away from those things, if we're going to turn back to Him, return to Him, then we're going to have to leave something behind. And speaking generally, we're going to abandon our way of thinking, our way of living, our desires. And so we read in the Proverbs that there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And that's in Proverbs 14, verse 12. So this verse that we're referring to here, there you see it, this way that seems right to us. We need to understand that this isn't just referring to those people that we would consider obviously wicked and obviously evil. And it wouldn't just refer to those sins that we would deem to be obviously and blatantly wicked. But it's actually very broad. There's a way that seems right to me, and there's a way that seems right to you, even though we're believers. But the way that seems right to us still leads to the way of death. There's only one way that leads to life. And so, again, if we're returning to Him with our whole heart, then that should be important enough to us that we would deny our will, deny our desires, and try to fulfill His will and His desire. And so in short, and this is going to be our topic for the next couple of programs, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, turning from our way to embrace His way. And so Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. He said this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, again, as we return to God, return to His ways, turning from ours, denying our will, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And I want to focus on those two words, living sacrifice. We are to present ourselves as a sacrifice, but God does not desire our physical death necessarily, because He's not God of the dead. He's God of the living. However, He does want us to die to ourselves. I've said for many years that the reason that we were born again is so that we could learn how to die. And that is to die to ourselves. Again, going back to what we mentioned in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to man. That way leads to death. So if we're going to pass from death into life, we've got to abandon our ways, our way of thinking, our deeds, and we have to return to Him. And so we do that understanding that there is a certain protocol. There's a certain way that I have to approach Him. It has to be acceptable to Him. It's not that it's acceptable to me or to this guy or to that church or to that ministry or that website. It has to be a way of life that is acceptable to Him. Of course, He prescribes this for us in the Bible throughout. He tells us how we're supposed to live. So again, He doesn't desire our physical death. He desires that we would die to ourselves. And again, that we would present ourselves as this living sacrifice. Now, when we present ourselves, that is to say we are approaching Him. Remember, we return to Him. And so we could also put it this way, that we are approaching Him. We are drawing near to Him to present ourselves as this living sacrifice. And that word sacrifice, if we were going to look at it in Hebrew, the Hebrew word would be korban. Now let me say this. When we get into things like sacrifices, and especially those things that are mentioned over in the so-called Old Testament, there is this misconception in Christianity that all the sacrifices that are mentioned by Moses and in the Old Testament were all mandatory. That is, that God required that they bring these sacrifices, that the people did not have a choice. The reality is this. Most of the sacrifices that are mentioned in the so-called Old Testament, the law, the Torah, were not mandatory. They were, in fact, voluntary. The animal that's involved, whether it's a goat or a bull or what have you, that's really the secondary issue. Because the whole process and bringing these sacrifices, whatever type of sacrifice it was supposed to be emblematic of that worshiper. What I mean by that is this. God doesn't want their physical death, but there has to be the shedding of blood so that there can be the remission of sin. And so when the person would bring that sacrifice, in Hebrew, korban, it was as if they were telling God, if it were possible, I myself would die, I would climb on that altar and be consumed in the flames to show you that I want to devote my whole being to you. And of course, once again, God doesn't require that. God doesn't desire that. He doesn't want that. He wants us to die to ourselves. But again, going back to the idea that these were not mandatory, but they were voluntary, God does not want to, does not want us to approach Him and do this because we feel we have no other choice. He doesn't want us to do it because we are being strong-armed into it and our arm is being twisted and we're just saying, Uncle, I give, okay. No, He wants us to do this. He wants us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice because that's what's in our heart to do. It is a voluntary thing. In fact, let me read you another passage that I believe sheds a little bit more light on this. It's found in Psalm chapter 40, and it says this, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, ultimately, this particular passage is speaking of the Messiah. Nevertheless, it describes for us what the Father wishes from us, that we would delight to do His will, that that would be what's in our heart. In fact, that His instructions and His commandments would be in our heart, and we obey Him. We present ourselves as this living sacrifice because we love Him, because we're devoted to Him. In fact, let me read you another passage from the Psalm. This one's found in Psalm 119. It says this, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I want to just interject this thought here about that particular passage. The psalmist says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It would seem to me that if not to sin against Him, His word must be hidden in our heart. It will not be sufficient to simply hide it in our head. What I mean by that is there are a lot of people who have intellectual knowledge of what the Scripture says. However, the Scripture, God's Word, isn't in their heart. only in their mind, only in their intellect. And so consequently, they twist and contort God's word to accommodate their lifestyles. There's a lot of that going on today. It's always gone on, but it's rampant today. And so His word must be in our heart. And so going back to the idea that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, and acceptable unto the Lord. It, being acceptable unto the Lord, number one, it speaks of doing things His way, when He says to do it, how He says to do it. But I would also add this, with the right heart, with the right mindset, with the right provocation, not doing it, well, I've got to do this or this is going to happen to me. That's not what I believe the Scripture deems to be acceptable to the Lord. He wants it to be because it's in our heart to do it. And that's what He's always responded to. Because there are many Scriptures which we see God addressing His people that even though they were doing the ritual aspect of things He instructed them, their heart wasn't in it. He said, in fact, that their lips draw near to me, but their hearts are far from me. So these passages that we've read indicate that if we are going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, it's because we're saying with our heart, Father, this is what I want to do. I want to deny myself and I want to give all of my being, heart, soul, and strength to You. Now here's another passage from the Gospel of John that in my view, speaks to the same thing. Messiah said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if I'm devoted to Him, if I'm completely devoted to Him and I love Him, because that again should be the provocation, then I'll do what He asks me to do. I'll keep His commandments. That is what it means to be a living sacrifice. And let me say this as well. Sometimes that is going to require for us to keep His commandments, even when we don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. You know, a lot of people have the idea that, well, if I understand it, then I'll do it. How many of us have, as parents have told our children to do something and really didn't want to entertain a question from them as, well, why? No, we say, I told you so. But we understand that many times telling them and explaining to them why wouldn't make any sense. We want them to trust that when we tell them that it's for their benefit, it's in their best interest. And we also want to see them respond to us in obedience because A, they trust us and hopefully they love us. So we understand that. And we're just mere human. So imagine our Father in heaven, how He wants us to respond to Him. And when we keep His commandments, when we keep His instructions, and even those things that we do not understand, it is a manifestation that I love you and I trust you. Let me read you another passage. It's taken from Deuteronomy 6. It says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. There's something that's very obvious here to me, but I think nonetheless it needs to be pointed out. The Scripture does not say to love God with some of our heart, some of our soul, and some of our strength. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I'd have to say that I believe that that is the category that most of us would fall under. We love Him with some of our heart. We love Him with some of our soul. We love Him with some of our strength. And even though we profess it's with all, as long as we're in this flesh, there's always going to be that battle against or between our will and His will. And so if we are going to fully complete His will in our lives, then we've got to be willing to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Once again, He does not want nor desire our physical death. We read in Psalm 40, He says, you don't want sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, sin offering. These are not the things you desired. You want me to serve you willingly because your instructions, your word is in my heart. And so I'm doing it because I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, all my strength. And this is something that the Scripture stresses overwhelmingly. His desire for our heart, not our death. So then back to the idea of approaching the Creator, we're returning to Him, which also implies we're approaching Him. We're attempting to draw near to Him. And so if we were to do that in quote-unquote Old Testament days, there was a particular way you had to do it. Even though that action was voluntary on your part, there's nothing in Scripture where God says, if you don't, I'm going to do this to you. He didn't want people to do it because they were doing it out of routine. He wanted them to do it because it was in their heart to do. And so He says, if someone wants to approach Me, and I'm paraphrasing, He said there is a way to do it, and they were to bring this voluntary offering as evidence of their desire to die to themselves and to fellowship with the Creator. Again, there was a protocol. There was a way. It had to be acceptable to Him, as Paul writes in Romans 12. It had to be holy, as Paul mentions in Romans 12. But the whole idea here is that the people wanted to draw near to the Creator. Now, I want to show you this Hebrew word that we mentioned earlier. It's the Hebrew word korban. And it's spelled in Hebrew, reading from right to left, kuf, resh, bet, nun. It's the idea of this offering is you want to draw near unto the Creator. And I think it's interesting that when we read about these offerings, these sacrifices, these korban, if you will, it's always used in association with the name of God, Yud He Vav He, always, exclusively. Here's why I think that's interesting. Because the Creator is also known as by titles like Elohim. Elohim is written in the Hebrew masculine, and it denotes strength, power, judgment. However, Yud He Vav He is a name that is used when He is desiring people to that they would know Him, that they would have an intimate relationship with Him. In fact, many times in Scripture we see that He says, and they shall know that I am the Lord, or Yud He Vav He. And Yada, to know, means intimately. So this korban, approaching Him with this voluntary offering, was evidence that the person, the worshiper, wanted to get to know the Creator in a more intimate fashion. Now, we also want to say this. The sacrifice that He said you need to bring if you're going to approach Me was not for His benefit. It's not to satisfy some taste for blood or to satiate His anger. No, the sacrifice was for our benefit, that we, a fallen creation, might be able to approach Him, a holy God. He didn't need their cattle. He didn't need their sheep or their bulls or their goats because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so again, this request or requirement that they present a goat or a bull or what have you, that wasn't to satisfy some need He had. That was for the benefit of those who wished to draw near unto Him. So in essence, through these korban, through these sacrifices and these offerings, God made a provision for the people to be able to approach Him. In fact, that is really the purpose of the sanctuary, so that, number one, that God might dwell among them, and dwelling among them, if there were those in the camp of Israel who wished to deny themselves and draw near to Him, to get to know Him, to be in a more intimate relationship with Him, then they could bring these offerings. Now here's another component of this that we want to address. We understand from the Scripture that our Creator is a consuming fire. And so if we are to draw near unto and be intimate with that all-consuming fire, think of it in natural terms. If you're going to approach a blazing fire, the closer you get, the more uncomfortable it is going to become. And where are you going to feel that discomfort? It's in your flesh. And so if we are going to approach Him, we must become that living sacrifice, which means that more and more of us has to die off the closer we get to Him. That is, our will, our desires have to succumb, and we have to be conformed to His will and His desire and His purpose, and to acknowledge Him as our Creator, our Master, and a Father. Which then leads me to this point. The word korban, if we broke that down, it would actually allude to this, that in presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, we are responding to God's call for us to be His sons. In fact, I want to show you this Hebrew word. It's Kuf Resh Aleph, and then below that is the word Bet Resh, or excuse me, Bet Nun, which is son. Kara, and then the word for son. And so if we look at that, that's alluding to the word Korban being the way that we are becoming His sons. And what I mean by that, we're approaching Him with our whole heart. We're willing to die to ourselves. And those are those, He says, are My sons and daughters. Now let me read this psalm for you, Psalm chapter 24. It says this, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Now here's what's interesting about that, besides the obvious. Who is going to be able to go and stand in God's house? Who's going to ascend the hill of the Lord? Well, you have to have clean hands. They have to be washed. They have to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, so to speak. And you have to have a pure heart. The word pure is this Hebrew word here. I want to show it to you. Bet Resh. Bet Resh. And that word is pronounced bar. Again, it's translated in this psalm as pure. But the word bar, Bet Resh, is also the word for son. In fact, you've probably heard the term bar mitzvah, the son of the commandments. So here's my point. When we are desiring to approach the Creator, remember, all things have to be restored, and part of the process of restoration, the initial part of the process of restoration, is to return to God. That is to repent. Repent of our ways, repent of our sins, repent of our deeds, and begin the process of returning to Him. And if you'll recall from former programs, the next thing that happens is we are revived. There has to be that resuscitation, that refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord, according to what Peter said in Acts chapter 3. And then this all culminates in the restoration of all things. Well, if everything is going to be restored back to what it was, then in the beginning we have a picture of that body that God formed from the dust of the earth, breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and He became a living soul. But I want to recommend to you that what God had created there was a son. Man was made in the image and likeness of God in the very beginning. Of course, the fall occurred, then men began to be made in the image and likeness of Adam, and we were shaped in iniquity, etc., etc., and therefore we had to be born again. And so now because of the blood of the Lamb, we can return to God. But as we return, as we are revived, as we are being restored, we are now going from being sons of Adam to being conformed to the image of the Son of God, to as many as have been born again, received that incorruptible seed that is the Messiah. We have been given the power, that is the right and the ability to be the sons, yes, daughters of God. We are ascending the hill of the Lord. We desire to stand in His holy place, which means we are wanting to approach Him, we are wanting to draw near to Him, and as we do, we are to present ourselves as a living Korban. And that is in response to Him calling for those who would be willing to deny themselves and to be His sons and His daughters. And that's why we mentioned that the word Korban alludes to the call, kara, to call for ben, for sons. So who may ascend the hill of the Lord? The one who his hands have been cleansed, he acknowledges his sin, he has repented of those things, he is returning to the Creator, but it's with a pure heart, or the heart of a son. And according to what we read in Psalm 40, remember, it says that sacrifice and offering, this is not what you wanted. My ears you have opened. Sin offerings, burnt offerings, this isn't what you desired. But my will is to serve you. It delights me to serve you. It's in my heart to serve you. That is what being a living sacrifice is all about. We acknowledge that we have a will, that we have a desire, and frankly, our will and our desire typically does not line up with God's will and desire. So what is it going to require of us to say no to ourselves? It's not going to be because we understand all these things intellectually, at least not exclusively. But most importantly, it's going to be because it's in our heart to do. I said something earlier, and I'll close with this observation. Most of us, and I'm going to include myself in this, in reality, probably love God with some of our heart, some of our soul, and some of our strength. But the days in which we live say to us that He is now calling for us as His sons and daughters to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. It's one thing to say it. It's an entirely different matter to do it. And so then, as we approach Him, let's do it with the idea that we are going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We'll see you next week. Until then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.